is April 8th, 2021. It's approximately 2:01, and this is the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee meeting. We will call the meeting to order and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I guess we have roll call. Ms. Edge, do you do our roll call?
I'm sorry?
Do you do our roll call?
No, I don't.
Fun. I'll do our roll call.
Okay.
Let's see. We have someone from Ms. Taylor from Court Counsel. We have Mr. Rosario from City Council. We have Brian Hughes from the City Chief Administrative Officer. We have Mr. Kofer from Public Defender's Office. We have Ms. Schmidt from the Ethics Commission. And we are only missing one nameplate that I can't read.
Daniel Henry from the
Chief
Commission.
Okay. So it appears that we have a quorum. Move straight on to old business. We have approval of the February 18th, 2021 meeting minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Passes. New business. 6-month update on the Office of Inspector General activities. And also would update that we have a representative from the True Commission who is present. Yes, ma'am.
All right, so what I'll do is just refer you to tab 2A, under your tab 1 and then tab 2A. I'll just be speaking about some of the highlights in the 6-month update. So tab 1 and then tab 2A. Looks like this. There you go, I think 2-8. It's right there up in front. It's right up in front, in front of the book.
I think we need microphones in here.
Do you want me to talk louder?
Eh?
Okay.
I can hear
all
you.
All right. I'll try to talk loud. Can you hear me? Okay, so what I'm going to do is just recap at a high level the activities of the 6-month. This is October of 2020 through basically the end of March, and this is required by ordinance to just give you an update on the activities. We had 5 reports that resulted in the issuance of recommendations, and we do note that accreditation occurred within the 6-month. We've already discussed it, so I'm not going to even address that. The recommendations that we, on the 5 reports resulted, they were all accepted. They resulted in brand new policies or the update of policies, and they involve JEA, in one instance, JEA created a new policy regarding time and attendance and accountability for inspectors that go out in the field, and they also had routing accountability. One of the employees was misusing the vehicle and charging falsely time, and he did resign as a result of the investigation. So they had established brand new policies for the FATS and Oil and Grease Division. Another of the JEA investigations was regarding surplus materials. One of the supervisors put an employee at risk and also violated their own policy. And so that was a second investigation we had on that individual. He has since been terminated from JEA. JEA revised their surplus donation policy to make sure that everything was shored up and it was in accordance to how they wanted it. We've had more interaction with JHA, and one of the items that came in was a complaint regarding the lack of policy relating to public notices and Florida sunshine laws. They have since established a brand new policy relating to Florida sunshine laws and public notices and what they're how the timely posting of them and things like that. So that's a brand new policy. With regards to JHA, I have a major update in that the board did approve, I believe it was in February, their new employment policy manual, and that is a complete rewrite of their entire policy on all their employment policies in one binder. And it's because if you recall, when we did the McKinney's investigation, the former CEO, their policies were outdated back as far as 20 to 15 years. So it's a complete rewrite. And I think what I want to get across on that, it just shows the power that if someone sees something and they come forward, they can really have positive results for an organization. We've been told by the leaders there during the training, I did train them in an outreach session about our office to the leadership team. They basically said they took that investigation to heart and that they are looking at everything much closer and they're reshaping. It's kind of paving the way for a whole retooling on how they're moving forward on reviewing policies, and they're going to do them on a regular basis. So I think it was very impactful to that organization. If you look down on the lower left side on that page, this is on page one on the side, the graphic shows that with regards to what we received in the first 6 months, it is lower than what we received during the first 6 months of last year, but that is because last year we were dealing with JEA, and then in the spring we were dealing with a lot of COVID, and we were getting a lot of complaints that were directed over to the mayor's office. But what is important, though, even though it's lower, we are on track. It is our average for 5 years, it's about 64 complaints by the mid-year. So we're on track. We have 60. We've received 61 in the first 6 months. We've already closed 74% of the 61 that we've received. So I'm very pleased with that. In addition, we've been able to close an additional 42 complaints. So the 135 that's in that graphic is basically saying we were able to close 135% more complaints in this 6 months than we did last 6 months. And I attribute that to the additional staff that we have acquired, and also the closure of some of the larger investigations so that we can refocus and retool. We are basically at 86% closure rate as far as what has been closed overall since the beginning of the organization, and we are still reviewing a little over 100 items, and that's on that lower graph on the second page, about 103 items. In regards to the last page, I think the focus, I basically show here where the closures, what they're involving. So some of them were management referrals. Just a reminder, a lot of things are coming in that are operational. We are not going to do operational, and we're shifting them to the right authorities for that. And then the others are handled according to whether they should be audited or sent out or investigated or reviewed. And again, just to remind, not everything rises to the level of an investigation where we would issue a report, but it sometimes requires enough due diligence in the preliminary review stage to put something together and make that determination. Regarding meetings, we've already talked about the funding agreements. I worked on the funding agreements during the first 6 months, and also we're shoring up the protocol. So with the independent authorities, what is different with the administration is we have an ongoing relationship, and we meet more regularly than the independents, but the independents have a separate protocol that they will report fraud, waste, and abuse matters to us, and that's all matters. It's consistent, it's continuous, so that they're not picking and choosing what to refer, and then we have a dialogue. I have one in place with JEA. We've had one in place for several years now. We have one in place with the airport for a couple of years now. We're working on finalizing JTA and also JHA, who's also willing. So that way we're going to see continuity and how when the complaints come in, that we're looking at them, we're collaborating, deciding what's the best way to handle it. We're in the process of hiring one auditor, so we still have a vacancy there. And otherwise, with regards to the 6 month, that's just the high level on, we're going to continue processing the work and doing outreach. If anybody has any questions.
You just take a breath.
Sorry.
Can I ask a quick question?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
A question. Okay.
Me? Yes.
I just want to ask you, Ms. Green. On the auditor, too,
yes,
it's been, a month or so since we've been here. How are you coming? I may have missed it when you were answering. How are we coming along on the hiring? Are you still having difficulty?
I want to say through the chair, I believe the announcement's been open for barely 10 days. So we're seeing some people come through, but they're not meeting the qualifications, so it's slow. But I'm hearing that it's consistent with what's happening in the city, that there are some positions that are just taking slower than others. I do have a strong auditor right now, and I do feel very confident in her ability to continue to focus on audits and issue audits while we're waiting for the next
best candidate. When did you start first getting the additional staff? When did that take place?
I want to say it was January a year ago.
Yeah,
a year ago, right before
early
COVID.
Early 20.
Yeah.
This year?
No, sir.
Just before COVID in early 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, you know, trying to follow what you were doing about the concerns and complaints, and so that's helped you a lot.
Yes, it has, because and of course we all were in COVID mode last year, so we weren't able to really dig in as much as we have been this year. But yeah,
we're discussing your budget today too. All right.
I'm going to brief you on the budget. Yeah. Yes, my budget has. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I believe Ms. Schmidt has a question.
Thank you. I did. I was curious about this notation about the KHA grant funds unencumbered. Can you tell me something about that?
Yes, I'm sorry. I did miss over that. One of the audits we did, it was a follow-up audit. So through the chair, we did a faith-based audit, and that was issued. We discussed that in the annual report summary. We identified internal controls that were needed to be addressed, and the administration jumped right on that. They corrected everything. And then when we did the follow-up to the rest of the program, the overall program, because there were two aspects of it, the Stop the Violence mini-grants, the same internal controls that we recommended, we saw the same problems, but it was over the same period of time, just different bodies of money. So in that particular one, we found that there was a little over $53,000 that hadn't been unencumbered timely. But with the first recommendation, they made strong improvements to it, promised to analyze things when they were finished timely to release the funds. So we worked with the city, just letting them know they unencumbered them. So moving forward, I'm confident that all the controls related to this are properly addressed.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the 6-month update? All right, seeing none, move on to review the proposed budget for fiscal year 2022.
So if you just flip behind this to tab, the next tab over, just the tab right behind that, this is the budget that we're proposing. Basically, it's going to be a flat budget with a few exceptions. So everybody see this one here? Okay. So the first line item is that when council approved our budget in 2021, we did not have the increase in the funding agreements in place. So I did get those in place for this year and next year. So I have already seen the increase of $145,000 in the funding agreements. So at the time it was approved, the old revenue was in place, and that was at $115,000. So we've already received all the money from independents. So moving into next year, we're going to have $145,000 as a total coming from the independents, which is an increase over the last 2 years of $30,000 each fiscal year. And we'll continue on those funding agreements and make adjustments accordingly. With regards to the salaries, that's going to be the largest increase. I've made two salary adjustments in accordance with city policy on two positions in my office, and then the other bulk of it is what you have approved for me for this particular coming up fiscal year. And of course, below that, all the way down to the other operating are, with the exception of professional and contract, those are going to be all non-discretionary in relationship to how they break down with their respective salaries. And that'll be adjusted by the budget office. So with the discretionary expenses, the other expenses, basically it's negligible. It's less than $50. So we're basically operating in the same manner that we have been before, which is still going to meet the needs to address all of our training requirements to keep us in accordance with our accreditation and our professional standards. And so basically it's pretty much a flat change. I'm not asking for any enhancements. I feel like we're at a good place right now, and I want to continue on that path and see how the next fiscal year goes before we make any other adjustments.
Mr. Chairman.
And if there's this would be the questions that you would like to ask.
Not a question, I just would make a comment that she outlined it very well, but just to reiterate, there are increases shown here, but those are increases that were accounted for as we work together to add the people and then to work with the independents. So essentially this is a flat budget within the scope that the IG was asked to sort of bring it in, and this, from the administration's perspective, this is a good budget.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
That may have maybe directed to you or to Brian. If those increases would have had occurred in this current fiscal year, would they have been reflected in the 2022 ask?
To the chair, could you rephrase the question? I'm sorry.
No, I'll ask it this way. So a lot of the increases that we can't see were reflected in this year because they came after the budget was approved.
We can hear you.
Oh, sure. A lot of the increases that Brian said that were realized in this fiscal year are reflected this way because they happened mid-year, I'm assuming, based on what you said, or?
Yeah, I think maybe this will help. I would say that the people were added in a mid-year. Obviously, we've approved a salary adjustment in our last meeting. So there are things that happen outside the year, but all of those are happening within the budget range. So it would have shown as a bigger year-over-year increase if it all waited till the budget year.
Right.
But it's all accounted for. Does that help? Or?
Yeah, that helps. Because I was just curious to see if none of those things ever happened and we were sitting here, would we see those increases reflected that way? I guess if you're following.
If the people hadn't, if she hadn't added the people or hadn't adjusted salaries, you would have shown extra revenue from the agreements with the independents, so more budget to have access to, but it's account. Is that where you're headed?
No, that goes where I was headed. Okay. I guess what I was asking is the increases that you got mid-year, if they never happened, we would be sitting here asking for those increases.
Oh, would I be asking for those through
yeah.
the chair? I think it would depend on where we would have been addressing the workload. And I can't go back and say what that would have looked like. I do believe that I felt that the increases were important. We needed them because of the things that we're seeing and the trends we're seeing. And so I feel like I needed to ask them, and I probably would be asking for them right now. But I feel appreciative that both the mayor's office and the council understood the need and the timing of the need.
No, I 100% agree. I just know it's always very consistent. When we get to this place and we're reviewing the budget, so I appreciate the consistency. I was just curious to see if the dynamics change up.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So that's all I have regarding the budget.
Any other questions?
We don't vote here on this, do we?
No, you get to vote when we bring it to you in council.
I know, that's what
you
I'm saying. I don't know if I can vote for this here right now. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I don't feel like, I think we talked about this. I don't think it's appropriate for me to vote since we're going to be taking it up at council and me already voting for it and then going back, and I don't care. I mean,
she goes through the ringer here, then we put her through the ringer at MBRC,
right.
And then you guys put her through the ringer.
I know.
This is supposed to be a support. If you don't think I'm enough, you're supposed to be supporting me for more.
Well, Ms. IG, I want to do what's appropriate.
The ask right now is appropriate for what I need. I'm able to meet the needs. I'm able to meet my accreditation needs and the professional standards. I'm able to do the job.
Oh, I'm not questioning. I'm questioning me. I just want to know if it's proper for me to support something that I may, looks like Brian said, you know, after it goes to the ringer. What do you think, Brian? I don't know. I don't believe
there's a vote today.
No, there's no vote.
And, but I will say that you will see in our budget that we put forward no change to this page.
I know.
If you commit to hers, can you commit to mine?
That's another thing. I'm going to abstain.
Holy mackerel. Money's flying around here like crazy.
You're right about that too, Judge.
Council President, this is just to let you know what I'm going to represent.
No, I agree with
you. And then if I need more, I'm going to get
you. I don't question what you're doing. No, no, no.
No, I know you're not.
The new saying, no. Anyway, but no, that's fine. When it gets to us and then, you know.
Say yes.
Yeah. I'll see how much it went through the ringer.
All right, then I believe at this point we need to address the Inspector General contract renewal determination.
So we don't have to vote on this one? Oh, good. Well, I don't talk all the time. I'm not talking about it. Okay.
It's okay.
Is that a particular topic, the renewal?
Is this coming to the council, too? Brian, is this coming to the council, too, the contract?
If I can just speak through the chair.
Yes, ma'am.
The ordinance requires, and the employment contract requires, that at least 6 months out before my expiration of the contract, there needs to be a decision by the committee whether you want to retain me and say, look, we want you to stay on, or you want to hire someone else and redo the process. And the intent. It's not a commitment. It's none of the mechanics. It's just the intent of what you want to do, how do you want to proceed, so that we're all on the same page.
And I believe, Mr. Chairman, we do move and vote on this.
I believe that we would.
So I would say that on behalf of the administration that also moved the raise last time, we would move.
I know. That's what I'm wondering.
Our intent would be to continue with the current Inspector General. That would be a motion.
I'll second that motion.
All right, having a second, any discussion?
Second. Even though I'm voting on that too.
Any discussion on that?
I think this was pretty much covered during our review of her salary increase request, and so
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It would sort of be inconsistent for us to have voted to raise a salary and then not retain her moving forward with the new contract.
So I tell you later, we're looking for somebody else.
Pardon me?
Call a question.
All right.
Second.
We've got a second. We've had discussion. If we could take a roll call vote by person, if we start with the True Commission.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Also yes.
All right, that's unanimous. I'll vote yes also. I guess we are expressing our intent to engage in an extension of your contract.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to accept that, and I appreciate the support and all the support that everyone's giving. And as we continue to go to office and work collaboratively with everybody.
And I would just note for the record that I've not asked for public comment on that vote because there's no public that are present. However, we also come to the final part, which would be any comments from the public, but again, no one is here. So unless anyone else has anything else,
I just have a question.
Yes, sir.
Just ask, and this is, I could ask you privately, how do y'all deal now in the privacy of when you're calling people in that have been, you know, maybe when you have complaints about somebody and you bring that person in or you have witnesses coming in, how do you keep the other city employees? This is a question that's been around a long time. I'm seeing who's going in and out of, I don't know where you do your interview.
Chair, by moving over the tax collector's office, it's been very, a really good position because there's so much public coming in and out. Mm-hmm. We have an agreement with security. People just come in, they don't sign in. We know they're late to come up. So there's no real disclosure, and it's not out of the norm for people to go to the tax collector's office, and so they come up to our floor, and we have in our suite, we just talk to them in private.
So the employees don't, some of, you know, I'm talking about people that are around.
No one's really paying attention because they're going up through the elevator, so they're not walking really anything through the halls. They go straight up to four and down the hall, and there's not a lot of activity on four except for parking.
Yeah, it's hard to find, honestly.
You don't have Brian out there looking around the corner.
I was going to say, Tom,
I don't know.
You need to go.
Maybe Tom.
I've had to go like four or five times.
I don't want to ask Brian. He can give me the whole
detail. I can sleepwalk to that office. Seriously, I would add.
If it's really something we're concerned about, I might bring him up through the back ramp, through the lovely trash area. So I know I've done that.
I like that. So you need to go once in a while.
If people are that concerned, I'm going to go to them. I mean, we're going to make sure that people feel comfortable coming. And sometimes we give them the option. So it's working out really well.
I'd add that there's also a sort of a reworking of their office space that will make the interview space even kind of more private.
Innocuous. Exactly.
Yeah. I just want to coach. Yeah, I don't know when I heard. Maybe it's been.
I'll take you the next time I go.
I'll go, Brian. I'll go as this friend of the court.
Have you had to do the interviews, any of them via Zoom because of COVID?
Yes, sir. The chair. We've had to make adjustments like everyone else, and we're trying to accommodate the comfort level. I don't prefer that because from an investigative standpoint, as you know, body language is key, and being in the room with someone is a lot different than being on Zoom. Not only that, I don't know how private it is when I'm doing Zoom or what you're doing on the other room, who's in the other room. So it's not optimal, so we decide whether we think it's the right thing to do. If they're out of state, that's going to be an option. So that way we don't have to travel. So yes, we've had to accommodate as well.
All right, seeing that we can finish our official business, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's an efficient meeting.
That is. I like it. Mr. Chairman.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I heard that he was going to be giving it up.
You know he's been on the edge for so long.
Oh, 10 years. 10 years.